始まるざますよ。
行くでガンス。
ふんが。
まともに始めなさいよ。
アニメダイス、ラジオ。
This is Anime Diet Radio episode number 14. I think we're actually starting to become moody adolescents now, aren't we?
Yeah. Especially Mike.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting very difficult to deal with, Mike.
I think 14 was the age Shinji was in Evangelion when the whole story started, so yeah.
Yeah, but your Ikari, Mike, Gendo.
Right.
That's right. This is Gendo.
And recently, I call you Emperor, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Raider call you Emperor, of course.
Oh, well, see, you weren't supposed to say that. See, because my power is dependent on, like, people not knowing it. Because the most powerful people are those that you're not even aware are in power, but are really controlling everything behind the scenes.
Like Le Soldat?
Yep, like Le Soldat. Like Nerve until at least until the end, and when everything got shot to hell. Yeah, and just a little note, because to finally make this an officially semi-commercial radio show like everybody else, this is Anime Diet Radio, and we're sponsored by JList and JBox.com. You can find thousands of strange and rare and wonderful and slightly perverted items from Japan, straight from Japan, from JList and JBox.com. Support our site by clicking on the affiliate links whenever you see them on the sidebar at the bottom of posts, or in individual links and individual reviews. Thank you. Ka-ching. I'm going to play that Pink Floyd Money music under that, actually.
I'm curious, though. Do they have any, like, canned pleasure tentacles? I don't, I've been trying to find those everywhere and just can't.
No, but you can find Hello Kitty vibrators.
And you can also find the girlfriend pillow. You know about those, right?
Yeah, I don't think... My wife might see that as competition. So.
Yeah, it's basically a lap-shaped pillow. And... No, I'm not kidding about this. And believe it or not, the first ones were not made for males. They were made for females. And they were actually like male lap pillows. Then they decided to make a otaku male version. So, yeah.
I know about the arm pillows.
Yeah, they have the arm. They have those too. They've got plenty of those.
No, they have those full body hug pillows from porn actresses and anime characters. Didn't even talk about that.
Oh, yeah, but that's just a variation. Yeah. The thing is that I actually, even though I specifically said that, you know, the ads that are on our site should be the PG-rated ones for a J-list, I still saw that lap pillow thing. I mean, there's no nudity in the lap pillow, and there's no actually nothing technically salacious about it. No, it's just kind of weird, you know? You know, it's the mores of Japan, I suppose you can call
it. But it didn't stop you from ordering it.
No comment. No comment. Anyway, we've got a pretty busy show for today, and we're finally actually going to be responding to reader mail for the first time today. Yay! So our first section will be our mailbag section. You know, when I first started this podcast, I anticipated having a mailbag section much earlier than we actually ended up having. That was going to be an integral part of our show. Like on Anime Nano Podcast, it sometimes took up half the showtime. This is responding to people's mail. And so this is the first time we actually get to comment on something that one of you loyal listeners has sent out to us. It's going to be a follow-up actually to our Genion.
Name him!
He calls himself ASDF, which is actually a standard abbreviation for a bunch of other things I don't actually remember anymore.
Is that kind of like MoseDef?
I don't know. It's like, as far as I know, it's actually a lot like No Name Here, something like that, an equivalent of that. It's like what you want to put when you want to put something random and you don't want to identify yourself. And our second item is going to be our single news item. Or actually, no, not our single news item. We've got two news items coming up today. One is going to be about Clonod canned bread, which is being on sale right now in the Akihabara train station to promote the brand new anime Clonod.
Hungry! I'm hungry!
Your moist, warm canned bread for everybody. And finally, for our last news item, it would be we're going to talk about some strange places where Nice Boat has appeared, and including in actual anime. So actual new.
Is that a nice boat? I see your pants. Or are you just happy to see me?
believe me, there are probably many, many very interesting places where you could put that phrase from now on. It's really the, you know, all your base are belong to us of anime. And finally, of course, we close with our customary roundtable section. And we're going to end with a rant about splogs and spam blogs that steal our content and the drama that we went through this week and our efforts to stop them. So, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and move on to our, oh, it's so wonderful saying this for the first time, our mailbag section. Got a box full of letters. Think you might like to read. Some things that you might like to see, but they're all addressed to me. Wish I had a lot of this answers. Is our first official mailbag section. Oh, this is so wonderful. We've got one very intelligent comment from ASDF in response to our last podcast, Anime Diet Radio, episode 13, Genion's Unlucky Star. And it's, in fact, in response to a specific comment that I made relatively late in the podcast. I had mentioned that one of the things that I think anime companies really needed to keep in mind was that anime distribution companies couldn't sustain themselves purely on hardcore otaku sales. They had to essentially be able to appeal to a more mainstream audience at the same time. Well, ASDF...
Like Naruto tards,
like Dragon Ball Z freaks, like Eva freaks like me.
Like Bleach Biznitches.
Yep. All those big name shows, and Pokemon, of course. That was Viz's cornerstone for many, many years before Naruto. And so ASDF writes, what about Animego? They seem to be doing okay with older anime box sets like Urusei Yatsura and the upcoming Yaora, a fashionable judo girl. Granted, they also have their Samurai and Yakuza movies, but those are hardly mass appeal titles either. I could easily see the stagnant American anime market edging towards the Animego and Bandai visual models with higher price points and limited print runs. At least for niche anime that don't have the mass appeal of DBZs or Naruto's or even Ghost in the Shells. There's usually going to be a hardcore following willing to pay almost any price, especially for a high-quality release with lots of fan-relevant extras. The question is then of finding the balance between price and the size of hardcore fanbase with cash to burn, generally implying steady jobs. I do think digital downloads are going to be a big part of the anime market, but not in the way expected by DRM proponents. I think this is demonstrated by the sprouting and apparent success of illegal sites charging for access to fan subs. The appeal isn't only in getting unrestricted digital copies, which you can get anywhere for free if you look hard enough, but in access to fast direct downloads. Torrents are inconvenient to many and even an impossibility, as increasing numbers of ISPs engage in traffic shaping. I think in digital media, the real draw for sales isn't the content, but the service that provides fast, easy access to the content. Even iTunes is starting to offer some of their catalog in slightly more expensive DRM-free MP3 versions. And boy, this ended up a lot longer than I expected. Well, that's ASDF's single comment to us, and there's an awful lot of meat we can chew on here. So what do you think, guys? Well, what do you say? What is he right? Is he wrong? Talk about it.
Well, there's a ton of things that he's actually talking about in there. I think he does bring up a good point that we had totally forgotten about. Animego, which is kind of unusual because I actually am a big fan of Urusei Yatsura. So I think he makes a good point as to that, and I think a lot of people are talking about the move to make media more readily available without so much DRM on it, and you know, quick downloads, and you know, ease of moving it from one device to another, and it's just a reality that. We have to deal with, but on the other side of things, this could create some instant revenue. I mean, now on that, I also wanted to bring up too. I'm also a big fan of Leo Laporte that I listened to on the weekend, and actually there was an interesting quote talking about DRM, and which I think is just a big thing that affects you know what we're talking about. You know, if people actually had access to you know inexpensive. You know, easily access digital copies of anime and of media. The question is, you know, would they in fact, you know, purchase it more often than, you know, downloading it from these peer-to-peer sites? Is that one of the big issues? The, you know, industry's response has been, well, you know, we need to protect it. We need to put this DRM on it, you know, and which really is a big pain for, like I said, going back and forth between devices and knowing, you know, who it's registered to and on what device and whatnot. But actually, recently, there was a quote by one of the guys from Yahoo that was saying that he felt that record companies shouldn't try selling music online, or should try selling music online without copy protection. And in fact, he's coming out and saying now that their new service, they're not going to accept music with DRM on it.
Wow. I mean, I think that trend is starting already, because EMI, one of the big five record labels, decided to do away with DRM on all their songs on iTunes. And like basically what they decided to do is that they raised the price by 30 cents, but they also doubled the encoding rate. And they also stripped out all the DRM. So it's that, I think, is the trend. I predict that by the middle of next year, most of the songs on iTunes will no longer have DRM.
That's very appealing.
Yeah, it really is. You see, I think the key for digital distribution is convenience. It's actually not price. It's actually convenience. And that and ASDF is making the same point, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, actually, here's the actual quote I was looking for. I apologize. I actually pulled up the wrong quote. But it was actually Ian Rogers. He gave a speech to some music executives talking about the future of internet music and business. And he promised his company, quote unquote, will not be involved in digital rights management anymore.
Wow. Good for him. That's setting the pace. That's good. I really applaud that. So yeah, I really do think that's really the way to go, is to just not have DRM anymore. And it's basically they have to be able to take that risk, and that risk is essentially the risk of trusting their customers. And really, the thing with even in business, when trust is usually reciprocated, you'll have abusers. Sure, I mean, there's always going to be those, but I think they have to understand that that's part of the cost of doing business in our age, and that. If they give us something that's really convenient, that's reasonably priced, and isn't encumbered in the way that a lot of digital downloads are now, people, I think, really will repay them for that.
Yeah. And I'm not entirely sure that this has been, in fact, I need to research this a little further, but we talked about a little earlier, discovering about TotalVid, which probably some of our listeners already know about. I don't know. It was actually, they have a link on Anime News Network. And we talked about at one point about Death Note, about Viz wanting to put Death Note out digitally, and actually, in fact, that they do through at least this TotalVid service as one outlet. We're assuming that more than likely there is a DRM on that, but you can apparently get episodes for about $2 a piece.
Right.
So,
which I think is a reasonable price point. Yeah.
Right.
It's for a single episode, especially for something that's subtitled, because it costs more money usually to subtitle stuff. Not much more necessarily, but well, okay. Why don't we?
I mean, dub costs more money to dub stuff.
It costs even more money to dub stuff, which is really weird. Why the dub? It used to be. You remember back in the old days, the dub tapes were usually like $10 cheaper than the subtitled ones.
That's right.
I mean, yeah, that's really weird. I mean, actually, sub only releases are getting more and more common, because the anime industry is struggling. One of the side effects is that a lot of companies are coming to the conclusion there is not enough resources and it's not worth dubbing.
Coming back to the issue, the ASDF said, I just like to say that on one hand, you can provide like DRM-free downloads. On the other hand, you want to have some legal method to basically catch some of those people who are just going to abuse the system or whatever. Because in Asia, you know, because I live in Asia now, and I, for one, know Chinese especially. They're coming around and starting to learn their morals, but come on, I mean,
China, the capital of piracy worldwide.
Even Taiwan these days. What they do in Taiwan these days? All the manga are sealed, basically.
Now, I'm just curious though, how much lead do the pirated videos have in them? See, that's all I'm concerned about.
I don't know. Who knows?
I'm not sure. Well, here in Taiwan, because they're trying to go legit, they want to have international economy. Mm-hmm. So basically, they don't do pirates anymore. But you know, China is one of the irremovable forces or irresistible force, irremovable object where you have to go in and do your businesses. And they're like, hey, we don't care. You come to us to do business, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't care.
Yeah.
I think some of that may be changing with some of the recent controversy, but...
And I know what Warner Brothers does in China is that they sell bare bones DVDs for like $2 US. But that thing is that that's still twice as much as the $1 pirated version on the street. And so
less than a dollar.
Yeah, so. It's even less than a dollar now. So yeah, it's and so I mean they're basically getting really desperate. They're really because basically almost nothing legit is sold in China. Like no, they cannot sell legit products in China. See, that's
not even full.
Yeah, and so the thing is that I get the feeling sometimes the American, like, or the international, like, copyright regimes, or like the record labels and the movie companies and stuff like that are really afraid that like the Western market will turn into China. That's the only thing for me that can explain the paranoia that they've often exhibited in the past. The thing is I don't think that's going to happen. That's not going to happen, I don't think, in America or Western Europe. I mean, there's enough people who have enough money to buy the legit versions, I think. And what's really interesting is that even in anime in Japan, the vast majority of anime make their money back and actually turn a profit purely on the strength of the domestic Japanese market, believe it or not. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Well, but because they don't sell enough in other countries just yet.
Genyon looks like... technically Genyon is not dead, but... It's now, I think the president of Genyon USA recently sent a letter to everybody.
Yep.
And he basically said, we're looking basically for another bride. We're looking for another person who can distribute our work. And if we can't find it, we're going to fold up shop altogether. And so it really looks like the end for them, honestly. It's really sad because they really might conclude, a lot of Japanese companies really may conclude the American market is not profitable and they're just going to pull out. And then, we're going to be left with what ASDF says in his first point, that the only companies left will be the niche title producers, and they're going to produce, like, I don't know if you know how much Animigos DVDs often were. We're talking $40 a DVD. Like, I think were their original Macross box sets. They were really, really, really expensive.
And, back when, I think they went down in price considerably. I remember when I bought my box set, I mean, it was decently expensive, but it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, Bandai Visual, same thing. Bandai Visual, $40 a DVD for 2 episodes, no dub. And really, I think that would be a disaster for an American anime industry if they had to retreat that far. I really don't think that's good. I think...
I don't think that'll happen. Personally, I think with the release of shows like Death Note and Bleach and Naruto and on regular television here, I think there's got enough of a mainstream interest in it to, I mean, we might lose some of the niche titles, like you said, but I think people are going to still have enough interest in it to keep it moving.
I can see those shows being all that's left, though, basically.
That's
the problem. Basically says there will be a niche market, and then you'll have a mainstream market, but, you have such a huge gap.
Right.
And there's some other titles were in between that a lot of people may like, may never see the light of the day in the States. Of course, we still have fenced up, right?
So. Oddly enough, that may prompt the revival of... Well, actually, I don't see how fansubs have ever declined, but the fansubbing community would probably get even bigger for all the niche titles, because most of us who are on the anime scene and on the blogosphere are usually really big fans of the niche titles. And so we're like the main market that the niche titles appeal to. Whereas I've noticed at cons lately, more and more cons are really, it's full of Naruto and Bleach fanboys and fangirls. So, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
But in either case, I think we've pretty much... I don't know if we can really talk about this topic anymore. We've like spent 3 episodes on it already.
Nah.
So
that's it. ASDF?
Yep.
There's your answer, and that's it.
Yep, I think that's a lot of meat. Thank you for submitting a message. And, of course, for everybody else who's listening, we really welcome your comments and insights. And, we'll select some of them and we'll talk about them on the air. So please keep sending us stuff. All right. And we're going to go ahead and move on to the next section.
From Los Angeles, California, and Taipei, Taiwan, this is the ADR Evening News.
And we're going to talk about our first news item today. And it was actually kind of hard to find news items this week because it's, compared to last episode, it's been a rather slow news week. at least in the
slow news week.
Mm-hmm. And at least compared to the last episode that we did, when it was one of the busiest news weeks I could in recent memory in the anime scene. But this is going to be related to our current season, the current fall season, and I thought it was rather funny to talk about. First, we're going to talk about Clannad canned bread.
Canned bread.
Now,
moist, yummy, soft, moist,
and moe. And yes. And yes, Japan, of course, is well known for the weirdest food packaging in the entire world. We've got lots of strange things like scrambled eggs in tubes and hot drinks coming in cans, just to name some of the least weird things that are available. And so as a promotion for the new Clannad television adaptation, if you go to the Akihabara train station right now, you can, for 350 yen, which is about $3.20, pick up a can of canned bread from the vending machine. And it has Nagisa from Clannad on the label. And according to Anime News Network, it's apparently very similar to canned oden, which is actually sold all over Akihabara. And it actually comes in 7 different flavors, believe it or not. Chocolate, green tea, strawberry, butter, raisin, blueberry, and milk.
They forgot moe! Moe flavor.
What would moe taste like? How would you describe moe as a flavor?
I don't think we really want to go there.
It's moist and wet.
And apparently, these kind of canned pastries became popular only relatively recently. It really only started after the Kobe earthquake in 1995. And it was basically like a company decided to produce like really quick to produce emergency supplies for all the people who are suffering in Kobe in 1995. Right. And apparently they liked the idea so much, even though there's no like earthquake right now, people still want to buy canned bread. And according to some people who have actually tried canned bread, the canning process actually, you know, keeps the bread relatively moist. Not soggy moist, but, you know, like chewy bread. It's not like the hard, crunchy bread, which is like European bread. But it's like, but it's actually soft and chewy, and it actually retains the flavor pretty well. Though
is it moist too? Is it moist too?
It is actually moist for this kind of bread. Yeah, it is actually relatively moist.
Wet? Moist?
Not wet. Not soggy. Not wet, sticky, or soggy. That would be pretty disgusting. In more ways than one.
That'd be really moe, though.
Oh,
you know that, right? A really good moe, but I'm forcefully putting the image in your head.
You already did that with your last audio column, all right? Okay.
Okay.
You did that. And so, let's not... We'll let our fans concoct their own images of what moe tastes like. Or their own flavors. Maybe we should even ask for contest entries one of these days.
I don't think perhaps.
I don't know if I want to read those entries.
I don't know if I really...
Okay, let's get on. Sorry.
Okay, the last thing is that apparently... Because it's canned, it does retain the can shape when you take it out, including the rings in the can. Have you ever had cranberry sauce? It's like that.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, basically, have you guys ever thought of any other weird food products you could sell on the Akihabara train station to gullible money otakus?
Didn't they sell the Lilith juice or something?
Oh my god, yeah. I remember that. I even wrote a post about that a long time ago.
Yeah, and my comment was, quench your thirst for the wench.
Oh, God. Oh, my. Yep. It was basically we're selling orange juice as LCL. I'm not kidding about this. I have a picture of it. I mean, if you think about that, that's incredibly disgusting. I mean, that's the most disgusting thing I could probably think of. LCL juice was actually sold by UCC Coffee, believe it or not. It's like the largest canned coffee company in Japan. It's very well known. You can even get them over here. I mean, the canned coffee, not the LCL juice. Yeah. I mean, there's also been... I know back when Canon was around, they actually sold Canon Taiyaki at some of the local Akihabara Taiyaki stands.
That's an easy tie-in.
That's an easy tie-in, and that's more logical. And, of course, I heard that taiyaki wasn't particularly good.
Yeah.
There was actually honey and clover bread. Honey and clover melon pan, actually. No, I'm surprised I didn't have honey and clover honey. I mean, that would also be a really easy tie-in. I mean...
Well, what about, like, the Final Fantasy potion drinks that they came out with?
They did? Really? Oh. Seriously?
Final Fantasy VII potion drinks.
Really? What kind of flavors did they have? Do you know?
Oh.
I think it was just one flavor.
Come on.
It looks to be somewhat like a Ramune, sort of.
Oh, I see. Ramune is good.
Oh, wait,
stuff.
wait. Actually, a subtle blend of royal jelly, propolis extract, propolis, elderberry, chamomile, sage, thyme, hyssop, fennel, marjoram, rosemary, and caffeine and artificial coloring, and carbonated water.
Oh, if you can't get it up in the morning.
Yep. So if you're in Japan one of these days and you're traveling to Otaku Mecca, aka Akihabara or Akiba, well, if it's in October and you like canon and you like canned bread, well, now you have your product. Why don't we go ahead and move on to our final news item? And for our final news item today, it's really interesting how certain internet memes can spread not only so quickly just on the internet, but into actual real life and into actual real anime, believe it or not.
Real items! Real anime! Real shock!
And the thing is that I don't know if you guys remember that old anime, Serial Experiments Lane. Serial Experiments Lane was... Serial Experiments Lane was about how the wired world and the real world were theoretically separate, but that the wired world was invading the real world at some point, and that was like considered really dangerous, and the characters were trying to stop that. Well, we now have a real interesting case of the wired world invading the real world of anime, because the whole Nice Boat phenomenon, which you might remember from several weeks ago in the wake of the cancellation of School Days due to its extremely violent content, and and also the axe murder of the schoolgirl axe murder, basically has started to show up on race cars.
Yes, that's right. Actually, I was researching before we got started today a news item that just came out today, fresh off the wire on Anime News Network. Hitasha, the Japanese race that involves Italian type cars. Ita, short for Italian, combined with the word sha, which means vehicles or car. It's a race that they had up in Chiba, and apparently, though, the cars and motorcycles all had anime-inspired themes. They had, you know, pictures of, you know, anime characters and anime titles, and, you know, it was otherwise, it was kind of interesting, you know, I mean, something you might kind of expect from there, but I was really pleasantly surprised, somewhat floored in some sense, I guess, to see on the side of one of the cars, and we can actually post the link to that, the text, Nice Boat.
What's so surprising is because, I mean, that incident took place less than a month ago. Whoever put that on must be really up to date. I mean,
yep.
And knows about School Days and knows about what happened. I mean, I'm looking at some of the other pictures right now.
And a car lover. Car lover and otaku and like School Days and keep up with current trend.
Like on the internet too.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I see some interesting designs on here. Like the biggest picture on this article is for one, I think it looks like Nanoha Ace.
Yes.
And there's also a Gundam one. That's not surprising. And Love Hina. Asuka from Evangelion on one particular car that's
Lucky Star helmet. You know, you have Konada's face on the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Canon.
And we see Haruhi Suzumiya. I see Clannad.
Clannad. Mm-hmm. And he's got in the car looks like a canned bread.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
No, I'm just kidding.
Seeing is believing.
So other places that Nice Boat has popped up.
Yep.
Mike.
Apparently, in the brand new fall season show, EF, A Tale of Memories, if you notice, I think it's around the 6-minute and 6 second mark, if I'm not mistaken, of the first episode has a girl's bike being stolen, and in the, you know, kind of the wake of the bike being stolen, a piece of paper flies across the screen, and like for about a couple of split second, this, you know, the piece of paper is kind of in the front, and you see the words "nice boat" written on it. Now keep in mind that this is a brand new anime. The first episode only came out last week, so the animators must have added that at the very last minute, like once the whole "nice boat" incident happened, which was only about 3 weeks ago, if I recall correctly.
Maybe some of the artist like secretly put it in, and it's becoming one of those all your base are belong to us sort of things.
Or like, you know, having hidden penises in Little Mermaid. You remember that?
Yeah, Disney animators love to do that.
Yeah.
Or the sex in the Lion King. Word sex in the pollen, I guess, in the.
Yeah, I think they're also called Easter eggs in. When it's in this reference, right? Too right. I mean, Easter eggs usually refers to hidden little mini programs inside big programs, but it's or like DVD bonuses that are hidden. I guess You can call these Easter eggs as well. But it looks like, I mean, in a way, it's not surprising because EF is also a game adaptation, just like School Days was, and it was no, they're not made by the same anime studio. Shaft makes EF.
You're damn right.
Yeah, but it looks like it's a little homage here and there, apparently. And so, yeah, we're actually considering for our next contest other interesting places to put the Nice Boat logo in the spirit of the old All Your Base Are Belong to Us, where, you know, you people put it up on all kinds of different places using Photoshop. But there'll be more details on that if we decide that that's what we want to do. But in either case, we just thought that was funny. We just thought that was cool. And just a little too nerdy, perhaps.
And brand new.
And brand new. It's amazing how fast it spreads. We are truly living in the internet age.
And so, that's right, Mike. Are you happy? Is that a nice bow in your pants, or are you just happy to see me?
No comment. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and move on to our roundtable section now, where we're going to talk just about one major topic which has raised all of our blood pressures this week. See you in a bit. And of course, we're going to close with our traditional roundtable discussion, and we're going to try to stay calm, but it may be a little difficult for...
I am already powering up!
But it's going to probably be difficult, especially for Ray, and it's also going to be difficult for me because I had to deal with all the fallout. Though, and Jeremy was probably a little lucky in that he got spared most of the volcanic debris that resulted from our battle against the Splogs. Now, for the...
Here come the Splogs! Here come the Splogs! Kill it! Kill it!
No!
You can't die now! No, leave me behind. You've got to go on. You've got to live. Anyway, the thing is what happened last week. Actually, last Sunday evening, we found some people who are stealing our content. And basically, for those of you who don't know the term what Splog is short for spam blog. Spam blogs are basically automatically, robotically generated so-called blogs, which grab public feeds from primarily in the anime world, primarily from Anime Blogger Antenna and from Anime Nano. And they basically just repost everybody's posts without permission, and they infest the entire site usually with Google ads or Yahoo ads, where you get paid by the number of hits and the number of clicks. And so basically they're stealing everybody's content without permission, and they're making money off of it, which of course is dastardly, wrong, piracy, and really, really, really not nice, to say the least.
Okay, don't say piracy,
it's capitalism gone awry.
Yes.
Some of us practice piracy, right? So let's just lay it out open. We hate them because they get the money, all right? I want to slaughter them because I want the cash, bitch. Give me the money, bitch.
Yeah, because we make so much damn money off this thing.
Exactly. Right.
Yes, we do. Our financial records are not public information, so please do not request a copy.
20 cents. 20 cents.
You mean, the contents of my pocket. I mean... like pocket lint and
yeah
and Burger King receipts and
The change I found behind my couch.
All I will say, though, it is more than 20 cents. But I'm not going to say anymore. not in public. But basically, they were making money off of us. And we wanted to find out a way to stop them. And after...
And you got into EVA 13, and you went out and searched for these guys. But yes. Guess what? They were better fighters than you. You got your ass kicked. You went berserk. You still got your ass kicked.
Okay, so what happened was... I went into my EVA 13, which is another name for Google search, and I basically looked for some plugins to try to stop some spam blogs. And I basically found a plugin that looked really promising called Anti-Leech. Anti-Leech was written by Owen Winkler. And what Anti-Leech tried to do was do something better than just blocking. It yes. basically tried to enact revenge on this blog.
Yes.
Basically, yes. Basically the first part is that it would send you a list of all the people that were taking your feed. And you right. would then specify which ones that you wanted to block. And when you block them, it doesn't just block them. It sends fake information to them. So that what's posted on their site is like your own personal customized greeting to our friendly bloggers.
Hate message.
As well as a link to our actual site. So we get to promote our site at the same time we're denying them income. And also sending our own missive to the wonderful people who run these operations.
Dickheads.
And so I installed that, and Ray wrote up a very suitably appropriate message for our...
Sure, it has something to do with their mothers and yeah. their sisters.
And actually, it seemed to be okay for a couple of days. I noticed that the biggest offender, and I'm going to name the biggest offender right here on the air, directanime.org.
they go directly to hellanime.org.
Their trackback stopped for a couple of days. Like, I did not notice any of our relatively new posts getting stolen by them. But then on Wednesday, something rather interesting happened, which was that for some odd reason, the Anti-Leech plugin thought that we were sploggers.
We were stealing our own content.
Yeah. Like, tell them what happened, Ray, because I was not actually awake when it happened.
Yeah, it was really funny. I was looking at our front page, you know, just like a regular server, and it says, doesn't that suck? Something into the fact that doesn't that suck that these guys are taking legitimate work of Ray Hugh? Well, it's my email address, first part of my email address, like RayHugh777. I was like, that's me. Doesn't that suck that I'm stealing my own work? Oh, wait a minute. I knew I shouldn't have let that evil clone go out there. Oh wait, I don't have an evil clone. And I realized the problem. Promptly realized the problem that our stuff isn't, that our Anti-Leech program isn't working.
Yeah. And I don't know exactly what went wrong, to be honest. My theory is that the Anti-Leech plugin thought, you see, the thing is that when you reference like one of your own articles in a link in one of your articles, for instance, that produces a trackback, correct?
Yeah.
Like automatically produces a trackback. The Anti-Leech plugin may have thought that trackback was somebody stealing it. That's my guess. I don't know.
We also thought Anime Nano. He thought Anime Nano was the
right. And so a lot of legit sources, including Owen, interesting enough, one of our best readers, and interesting enough, the winner of our last contest. Congratulations. yeah. Contest and basically, yeah, they started seeing these really funny messages, and yeah, Ray, the hero that he is, he turned off the errand plugin, and he restored everything to normalcy, while I was either asleep or in class. So give a big hand to him. Yep. And so basically, things are back to normal now, and unfortunately, we're back to square one. Direct Anime has come back. And start stealing our stuff again. And
we got a ton more people that come in the group. You know, you chase 7 demons out of the door, it brings back 7 more.
Yeah, it's really sad. And so really, first of all, this part of the podcast is first of all an appeal to all of you out there. Can you guys think of any good ways to basically block these bloggers without using this Anti-Leech plugin?
Destroy them, slaughter them, gut them, stake them! Cut them in pieces.
I mean, it seems that the Anti-Leech plugin is a wonderful idea, but it just doesn't work on our site. So, I mean, maybe some of you out there have actually had better experiences with it, and you could tell us perhaps how to configure it correctly or what we were doing wrong. But in either case, we're really looking for solutions because I really don't like this, what's going on right now. Tell them, Ray.
I swear to God, if we ever find your asses, we're gonna whip you with a belt, boy. And I say boy, and I'm gonna hit you with a bowling ball like the Alabama man. And I'm gonna get a shotgun, and I'm gonna get a knife, and I'm gonna stab you with a Bowie, and I'm gonna hang you on me hook, and we're gonna have a bunch of anime bloggers perform a one of these parties on you. I don't want to say the name because some people get pissed off, and hang you on a tree. And we're gonna roast you for breakfast. We're gonna barbecue you for breakfast.
In effigy.
That's great. To
basically remove any liability from us at Anime Diet. In effigy.
Only in effigy. Free speech forever. Yep, basically we're really looking for solutions right now. Yeah. And since Jeremy, you were kind of on, you know, you caught up with that only after it was really all over, why don't you tell us actually about some interesting, I think we've had some experiences in the club, in our anime club, Anime Souffle, with people trying to inappropriately use our venue for commercial purposes.
Wow. Oh yes, we've had tons of things. I mean, from advertising for their own personal films and art projects, which, you know, I don't mind too much as long as people come to me, to basically trying to induct us into an anime-inspired cult. You know, that was really interesting. I forget the name of that that group, but they had this, come see this, invite your group to come see this new groundbreaking anime. And it's basically like this really like weird like promotional video for this Japanese cult. It's like, oh, that's nice. Not.
Yeah, it was like called the Principles of Happiness or something like that. And basically it was some Buddhist cult. Yeah, they wanted to indoctrinate you. And
sacrifices, which shrine to offer them on?
I know, no kidding. It's not the Anno shrine. Because
And at least, and to their credit, I will say they did come to me directly and didn't post on my site because they, I don't know if they were just had ran into that problem before and figured out that that's not a good thing to do. But we have, however, before I actually started screening our members, have interesting things like somebody creating a profile entirely comprised of pictures of rather ginormous penises and... and racial slurs all throughout the profile questions. So that was kind of fun that I, luckily that, like Ray, I caught it pretty much right after it went up, no pun intended. So that was quite...
He was making a bunch of polls.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For a semi-serious, you know, component to this, for all of you who are listening out there, who are thinking of using our fan-oriented things for fun sites and clubs for your own commercial filthy lucre, please just politely leave and go to the place that you deserve.
Hell. Let's just tell them, go to hell, bitch.
So... that having been said, everyone should tune in next time for our ghoulishly delicious Anime Diet Halloween special. We will next time talk about the new season of shows that have come out this month. We're going to talk about what was terrific and what was horrific.
Oh my. Yes, it will. That is, in fact, what is on the table, the cutting table, for our next episode, which is going to be released in another couple of weeks. Probably, I actually want to try to release it by October 31st, of course, since it is going to be full of Halloween sound effects, ghosts, goblins, aliens, espers, and anybody else who's not normal and Haruhi Suzuya would actually like. And so... and so, yeah, tune in next time for our Halloween special. And so, basically, unless anybody else has nothing else to add, this concludes Anime Diet Radio episode Adolescent Whiny 14. I'm your host, Michael Hong.
and this is Raymond Hugh from Taipei. Don't let me ever catch you.
Yes, and this is Jeremy. You don't understand me! From Los Angeles.
We mustn't run away. See you next time.